I would like to take a moment and introduce to you our guest speaker and his beautiful wife this morning. Pastor John and Christine Raymer have flown in from the East Coast to be with us this weekend, and their friendship and mentorship has been far-reaching in the life of our church, and maybe this is the first time they've been here, but his impact, just willing ear and advice and counsel when I call him, has impacted us as a church family more than many will ever know. And so it is my honor and pleasure to invite you to come this morning and bring greetings, Christine, and to share the word with us, Pastor John.
Oh, praise God. It's great to be here again this morning. For those of us that were here last night, we didn't get home very early, did we? But that doesn't mean you're tired this morning, does it? No way. We did exactly what I had shared the first night. We actually drank deeply of the Spirit of God last night, just like it says in Corinthians, to drink deeply, and that's exactly what we did, and it was no short of amazing. Yes. And I just believe that this church is walking into a season of drinking deeply from the Spirit of God, and that brings with it so much stuff, right? It brings with it freedom. It brings with it freedom from our past. It brings with it liberty for our future. It brings with it the ability to go and win others and tell them what Jesus has done for us, because we stand free, completely free in Jesus. There's no better feeling, is there? There's no better feeling than to live your life knowing that you are totally, completely free. Amen? Hallelujah. I was thinking back this morning, but when John first went in itinerant ministry, and we were so young. I don't know, what were we, in our 30s? The kids were really young. I think Mark was 6 and Tara was 8. And you know, I thought it was the most horrific thing in the whole world that God would call my husband on the road and leave me with 2 little children to raise because I didn't travel with him. But you know, God was so faithful. Even at that point, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he's always spoken to me through his word. And he said, I'm calling John forth, he said, and I'm calling him with that he will minister without price and without reward. This is what God told me that back then, that he's going to be able to come into churches, he's going to be able to minister freely without asking the church for anything in return. Is that beautiful? That's what God told me, and I believe that this weekend is a step forward in just that thing, that we can pour into you, that he can pour into you. Now, I didn't always feel like it was a horrible thing. That was just the beginning, the introduction of having a person that was going to be a quote-unquote evangelist or prophet, or we really haven't named him, have we? He says he just flows in whatever anointing God places on him at the time, right? So, and that's exactly what God has done. But I want to say thank you for allowing us to come and pour out. And it has been wonderful what God has done over the years. It's just been terrific. I could never, ever had imagined a life so full of adventure with the Spirit of God. And that's what I want to tell you. Your life, when you enter and you walk in, your life becomes an adventure with the Spirit of God. And he will take you places you never thought you would go. He will put people in your path that you will be awestruck. You will just be awestruck that God is doing that for you. So bless you, and thank you for having us with you. And continue, drink deeply from the Spirit of God. Drink deeply. Hallelujah.
And now you know the rest of the story. I'm telling you, I'm the most blessed man on the face of the earth, just like all the you other men here that have wives that are standing with you and supporting you. Pastor Stephanie, Pastor Trevor, you know, I'll tell you, I love this couple, and I love their heart. I remember when Stephanie reached out to me, and she knew our family, but we didn't really know each other. And she said, would you just be available? Would you be willing just to kind of walk with me? And so we would make every week an appointment for a phone call. And I tell you, it was one of the most blessed opportunities that was ever given to me. We never set an agenda. We didn't really know what we were going to talk about. And for me, to be quite frank, that's a little bit of challenging. Now my wife, she's always instantly ready. You know, me, like, this is not really who I am. But, you know, it was interesting that never once did he not meet with us. You know, that's wonderful. And Trevor, I just want to tell you, I love your spirit. I love your heart. You're a good son. You're a good father. And you're a good husband. And you're a good servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Okay. So let's go to the word. Just, it's Sunday morning, so relax. I'll get you to Swiss Chalet before the big crowd comes, okay? Well, I'll do the best I can. Amen. Blessed Holy Spirit. I welcome you. Come, Holy Spirit, in the authority that you have for the one who has breathed the word of God into the hearts and the minds of the writers, now come and let your word have free course in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I absolutely agree with Christine. I'm so excited about your future. I believe that God has a great future for this community. I believe that God has a great future for every individual. Now, I don't want to rain on the parade, but there are some things you got to know. Because a lot of churches and individuals have gone shipwrecked because they got off course. Maybe the storm drove them. But we need to be understanding our responsibility to see the fulfillment of God's future for us. I love what it says, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans. Now, that comforts me, because I don't know everything. Do you know everything? But God knows the plans he has for you, says the Lord, for good and not for evil. For peace and prosperity, to give you a hope, a future, an expected end. It's imperative that we are alert. It's imperative that we are on guard. You can't take that promise and just say, okay, Lord, whatever will be, will be. No, you have a responsibility to engage with that word. You have a responsibility to engage with the future that God has planned for you as a community and for you as individuals. There's a scripture that I read one time just recently, and again, the Spirit of God spoke to me so clearly. It's taken from Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. And if you want, you can look it up, Revelation 12, verse 4. And there's a statement here that, you know, you could just miss it if you're reading quickly, as I oftentimes do. And he says, now, slow down and read that again. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, if you're just reading quickly, you can just read over that and then, well, yeah, whatever, yeah. But if you read it closely, it's telling us some important things here. Who is the dragon? He's the serpent. He's the enemy of our soul. He's the devil. It's interesting that The enemy monitors the progress of God's purpose. What's amazing to me is that the dragon knew something's up. And what did he do? He postured himself. He positioned himself to attempt to devour the child as soon as it's born. Now, this actually did historically happen. In fact, you know the story. It's part of the Christmas story. You know that in Matthew, it talks, chapter 2, it talks about the Magi. The Magi that followed a star who had come to honor this king that had just been born. But there was protocol. They're from another people's group. So they come to the king, to King Herod, because that is proper. That's protocol. And so they let them know, we're here, and this is why we're here. We're here because there's a king that's been born, and we want to honor that king. And King Herod said to the Magi, said, you go ahead and you do what you have intended to do, but when you find this child that was born, would you come back and tell me where that child is? And if it had not been for God, thank God, amen? If it had not been for the Lord, who warned the Magi and said, don't go back to that king. And in fact, he even warned Joseph and Mary. And he told them, go to Egypt. Interesting, Egypt. Where their ancestors had been brought out by the mighty hand of God. Go back to Egypt. And where would they get the finances to make such a journey and to sustain them? Well, the wealth had just been laid at the feet of the king that was born from the Magi. Don't tell me that God doesn't watch over his purposes to perform it in Jesus' name. And you all know what happened. When the king realized that the Magi had not done what he had told them to do, he's angered. He wants to make sure that this king that has been born, that threatened him, he was afraid that he would lose his throne. He would lose his rulership. So what did he do? He made an edict that every boy child 2 years and younger, just to make sure, because I can't be sure when that child was born, that every one of them are killed and slain within a region around Bethlehem to make sure that this king is dealt with. And y'all know what happened, because there was weeping and there was sorrow. So what do I learn from this? I learned that God's purposes to be performed require of us to partner with God and be vigilant and be militant and understand that the enemy of our soul goes about as a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. We need to be alert. I believe in Jesus' name that you are strategically positioned for a preferred future, a future that God has already set in motion. But be aware, the enemy will do everything he possibly can to keep you from successfully embracing and seeing the fulfillment of the purpose of God to be performed in your life and in your community in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be aware of the detours of our preferred future. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I've learned some things that the enemy does everything he can to try to discourage us. Number one, the detour from our future is called discouragement. The enemy will play with your head. He'll play with your emotions. He'll do everything that he possibly can to weaken you by bringing discouragement. That's why we have to understand the responsibility that is ours. We must learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. I mean, can you think about it? David has already been anointed to be the king of Israel, but here he is fleeing from the Philistines, and in their worst day to that point, realizing that their wives had been taken captive and their children, and even the mighty men that had stood with David, even they became so profoundly discouraged that they were going to stone David. And these were the men that would lay down their life for him. And they did, in fact. But discouragement. Discouragement is debilitating. And I like what it says about David. I mean, come on, think. Like all these other men, his family had been taken. But now they turned on him. The ones he could always depend upon. The ones that were always there for him. And now they've turned on him. And it says, but, thank God, thank you, Jesus. But David encouraged himself. No, don't stop there. In the Lord, his God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will never live out the purposes of God in your life if you do not understand the responsibility you have to encourage yourself. Thank God for other people that come by the Spirit of God and speak into your life and to encourage you. But you need to understand you have a responsibility to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. To build up yourself. I mean, like we are Pentecostals, aren't we?
Yeah.
I just want to be clear. This is a Pentecostal church? Well, I know you are our name, but we are that, right? Well, one of the most powerful things that I could ever encourage you to engage in is to develop your discipline of spiritual language and praying in tongues every single day of your life. And why? Because when you do, you edify, you strengthen, you encourage yourself in the Lord your God when you pray in tongues. I tell you, it's powerful in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, but I'm always with people, and I'm on the bus, you know, I'm on the transit, and I'm on the train. I can't be doing that. They'll think I'm nuts. You don't have to say it out loud. You do it inside. I have developed a discipline of praying in tongues. And that discipline has kept me on course when the enemy could have easily taken me out. And the preferred future would be detoured. And I'll tell you something. You got to learn. Hallelujah. You got to do this in every day. Get up in the morning. I remember, I'll just tell you a real quick story. I was pastoring in a little community in Littleton, New Brunswick. Don't look it up in the map because you won't find it. It literally was out in the middle of nowhere. And if there was 100 people in church, they used to joke and say there was 120 cars outside. They all had a car. But anyway, and we had an outreach in the summer, the Festival of Praise, we would invite guest speakers to come. And this time we invited a guest speaker from Seattle, Washington. His name is Casey Treat. And Casey Treat was going to be ministering, and we were hosting him, and we put him up in the hotel. And he said to me, Pastor John, he said, I'd like to have a prayer meeting tomorrow morning. I think we should pray tomorrow morning. And he says, I think it's important. I said, okay, Pastor Casey, we'll definitely do that. He said, I don't want just you to come. If it's possible for your wife to come, if you could possibly have the leadership, the deacons, the elders, invite them to come, and we'll pray. Well, you know, I'm not hyper. I'm highly motivated. And I had a to-do list of all kinds of things to do, and they had to be put in place because that evening we were going to begin the Festival of Praise. And so my mind wasn't in it. In fact, I think my heart was there, but I just wasn't there. But I'm there physically for a few moments, and then I'll get on with what I have to do. And so I said to Pastor Casey Treat, I said, sir, you asked for this prayer meeting, you lead the prayer meeting. And he said, thank you very much, Pastor John. I would like us to begin this prayer meeting in tongues, praying in tongues for 1 hour. And not pray in your learned language, pray in tongues for 1 hour. Well, I had a dilemma. Number one, I didn't sense the presence of the Holy Spirit because my mind is thinking of all the things I'm doing. I'm just there in body, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to get on with what I had to take care of. Number two, I wasn't sure that you could just pray at will in tongues. I'm not saying anybody taught me that I'm not allowed to do that or whatever, but somehow or another, in my mind, you couldn't just pray in tongues at will. The Spirit of God had to come upon you and enable you to pray in tongues. So I have a dilemma. But I can't argue with them. Because number one, I'll confirm I'm not spiritual. And secondly, I don't want to offend this man. So we began to pray in tongues. And I was doing the best I could. And I, after a long time of praying in tongues, I thought I'd just take a sneak look in my watch to see how much of the hour has been spent speaking in tongues. And ladies and gentlemen, 3 minutes went by. For a borderline ADHD guy, this was misery. When it was all said and done, I'm leaving the hotel and I'm on my way and I got things to do. And the Spirit of God said to me, now you know just how undisciplined and unruly you really are. As a young man but 25 years of age, I'll tell you, those are strong words. I mean, that's like my mother right there physically, because she had the authority over me. Because my dad would be on the road, you know, back in the pioneer days. But I want to tell you something. He got my attention. He said, if you'll partner with me, I'll help you with this. He said, I'm just going to give you a few things that will help you to develop a new discipline. He said, number one, begin your day by welcoming me into your day. I remember hearing that when I was 16 years of age at the World Pentecostal Conference in Seoul, Korea, when Dr. Paul Youngi Cho, he said that every day he welcomed the Holy Spirit into his day. And Benny Hinn wrote a great book about that as well. But I really didn't take it to heart. He said, I want you to start every day. Number two, he said, I want you to take at least a few minutes every day and pray in tongues. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm saying in Jesus' name, we are Pentecostals. This is biblical. This is powerful. And this is intentional. And this is all about keeping on course so that the purpose of God can be performed in your personal life as well as in your corporate life, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm encouraging you. to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. And when we pray in tongues, we build ourselves up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we get stronger and stronger, we're going to see the preferred future that God knows in Jesus' name for us as a community and for this church and for our families and for our individual lives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Discouragement is a terrible thing. You know, Elijah? Elijah is one of the greatest prophet ever has. So don't think for a moment that you can be exempt from discouragement. I mean, Elijah, he was the man of fire. He was the voice of God. He was the father of the nation. But after a while, Jezebel got in under his skin and got into his head and got into his heart. And now he's so discouraged, fleeing from Jezebel, that he wants to die. He asks God to die. Let me die. And if it hadn't been for the angels that force fed him, he would have died in the wilderness. And where would Israel be? There would be no Elisha if there was no Elijah. Are you listening to me in Jesus' name? Listen, Israel's history would be totally different if Elijah had allowed discouragement, which he did, but God, somebody say, but God. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over discouragement. I just speak strength in Jesus' name. I believe that God has something wonderful for this house and something wonderful for every person. There's another D, if I might say. First, discouragement. Secondly, deception. The only way the enemy can get us off course is that he will not only use discouragement, he will try to deceive you. Deception. And you say, well, I'd never be subject to deception. Well, great men of God, great women of God have become subject to deception. You know, I think of the story when I read about Israel, and they're at the Mount Sinai, and it tells us in Exodus 32:24, they're at Mount Sinai, and Moses has gone up to receive the word of the Lord and to receive the structure that would be put in place called the law, so that this nation would be strong and be healthy, and they would be a people unto God. But he was delayed in coming back down, and they got discouraged. And then they got deceived. We got to do something here. Moses is gone, man. We're in the middle of the wilderness, and we got to do something here. And so what they did? The golden calf, right? The golden calf. I love it when Moses finally shows up, and they're having this big party, and they're dancing around the golden calf like a bunch of heathen. The things that were going on was terrible. And Moses is just, he's angered with the anger of God. And he challenged them. I like this. This is called deception. It's not our fault. We threw the gold in the fire and this is what came out. It's not our fault. Deception. I tell you, we need to be people of the word in this season, in Jesus' name. The church has got to be militant. The church has got to be focused in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to get into the word until the word gets into us. The word of God is the only thing that will keep us from deception in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth, and he's our teacher and he's our guide, and he will help us so that we are not detoured by deception. We think we're doing the right thing, but maybe we are, but we're doing it in the wrong way. That's called deception. Another is duplication, doubt. Now, you don't have any problem with doubt. Just me. When your mind is running wild, begins to challenge that preferred future that God has shown you by the Holy Spirit. The vision that he's given you, the dream he's given you. You see, Peter, I love Peter. He was impetuous. I think he's a little bit ADHD too. I'll tell you something, Peter, but I love him, man. When they seen Jesus come walking on the water, for most of them, they thought he was a ghost, some evil spirit. Peter knew it was Jesus. And Peter said, Jesus, bid me to come and I'll come to you. And y'all know he got out of the ship and he walked on water. Come on, give the man a break. Have you walked on water lately? I mean, he walked on water. The problem is right here. That little space right there affects what goes on right here. It's called doubt. And doubt is when you duplicate. In fact, he would have drowned, but Jesus helped him. Got him back up. And God bless him, he walked the rest of the way and he got in the ship. But then Jesus asked him a question. Why did you doubt? In other words, why did you duplicate what was first given you? The word was, come. But you duplicated with, oh my God, I'm going to die. That's called doubt. Seeds of doubt. The enemy will try to sow seeds of doubt to keep you from your preferred future. We must be militant. We must know who we are. We must know where we're going. And we must be tenacious in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to remind ourselves of what we heard Pastor Stephanie said, the house that we see. You're going to have to remember that. You're going to have to rehearse that. You're going to have to put it up because the eye is the window of the soul. I believe in that. I'm not telling you to do it, but I think you should. Because there's something about when the eye sees it. And the eye is the window of the soul. And when you see it, it goes inside of you. And then it gets established in your mind. God is about to do something big. And I say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not going to let our minds duplicate, because we're not into duplication, because we'll mess it up. We're going with the original word. We're going with the word, and we're going with the vision that has come by the Spirit of truth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. The Bible warns us about this. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, the Passion Translation. And I just, if you could hear it from the Passion Translation, and maybe you love another translation, but just bear with me on this one, because I like it on this one here anyway. I like this. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation. Oh, I like that. Using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized by divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow to the obedience of the Anointed One. Since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon as you choose complete obedience. I'll tell you, we got to stand on guard. I commission if I might say, if it's okay, I commission the pastors here. And when I say pastors, I mean you're a husband. You're one. No matter what, you're one. Stand on guard in Jesus' name. The youth pastor and his wife, stand on guard in Jesus' name, sir. For the deacons, stand on guard in Jesus' name. This battle we wage, it's not us that wins the battle. He wins the battle. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. I pray that the vision will get so much inside of you that you can't help but rehearse it. You can't help but declare it. You can't help but pray it every single day. It consumes you. It overtakes you. And you do not allow any of these things to get you off course in Jesus' name. Could somebody say amen? Amen. And the rest of you just say, oh me. Here's the last one, and then we'll, because it is Sunday morning. I understand. Division. You knew it was coming, didn't you? It's the D words. Don't have to create new ones. They're right there. Division. Division has caused more disruption in local churches. I'm not saying it's happening here. I'm just telling you that division, if he can in any way, shape, or form, create division between us, so we're not one people of one heart and one mind and one spirit. I tell you, God wants to work in our hearts. I just got to tell you just a little testimony of Thanksgiving. You know, when you plant the church in the first few years, it's like a little infant baby. I mean, you have to nurture this. You want to see it grow and be strong. I remember I used to say to my associate, I say to him, we're only one crisis away from it all being over. Because we weren't community. We were just a gathering of people. People came from other churches, and I thank God, as Peter Wagner says, they're scaffolding people. They'll probably make it 5 years, and then they'll go their way. That does happen. But I want to tell you something. When we did hit that one big crisis, it's amazing. It didn't destroy us. It actually made us stronger. I was amazed. I thought people would be just leaving. I thought people would just say, we're giving up on this dream. No, sorry. People rose up and said, that's our pastor. That's our pastors. This is our church. We're going to fight for it in Jesus' name. It's just the absolute opposite. Why? Because we refuse to allow the enemy to get us off course in Jesus' name. Because it's not my dream, it's God's dream. And when you partner with God, with God's dream, you're going to be part of something that is so awesome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will define you and make you bigger in Jesus' name. But we refuse division. We refuse division. I want them to fire me. I wanted them to. Instead, Pastor, we're with you. We're going to stand. I'm telling you, God is about to do something big in this house in Jesus' name. You've had a great journey for 25 years. You've had the good and you've had the bad and you've had the ugly. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm declaring a line drawn in the sand. And we're going to find out who's on the Lord's side. And when you're on the Lord's side, you don't quit. You don't give up. You don't allow anything to keep us from being where we're to be. God brought us. God brought us here. We are part of this community. And we're going to believe in Jesus' name that a great Newcastle Pentecostal church that is now in a small way is going to be great in a mighty way and in a glorious way. And I see a church in this region that's having influence in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, division can happen even among family, because I know your family. I read it. Welcome home. I like that. We're family. But don't think for a minute that because you're family that you'll be exempt from division. I think the most amazing example has to be Moses and his family. My God, like, you can read about it in Numbers 12:1. I mean, there's problems between him and his sister. Family. Family can just mess things up. Come on now, you all know. Not your family, my family. Amen. Listen, we need to understand something. I'll tell you something. God will always stand. What? Should I say this, Pastor Craig? I don't know, but you know what it is. Who does he stand with? The prophetess? Or the anointed appointed leader? God stood with Moses. I'll tell you something. We need to be everything that God wants us to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that in a local church, the most powerful thing is the power of one. When we are walking in the power of one, I'll tell you, all of heaven celebrates one. There was only one time that there were two, and that is when Lucifer wanted the throne, and he wanted to exalt himself. And for one moment in eternity, there was two. But heaven doesn't tolerate two. Heaven celebrates one. Glory. Come on, somebody get Jesus' name. And what did Jesus pray that we would be? That we would be
one.
He didn't say two. Listen, it's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about the pastor or the deacons or anybody else. It's about us. We are one, and we're going to be tenacious about being one. One doesn't mean that I don't have my own opinions. One doesn't mean that I don't have my own thoughts. But one means that I make a choice to say, I am family. This is my family. And I'm going to stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm believing that the vision is going to be realized by the power of the Holy Ghost. If you can get happy, clap your hands. Heaven operates by the power of one. Heaven operates by the power of one. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, is to help the church function in the power of one. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace. Thank you, Jesus. The God of all grace. Who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while. Perfect. Established, strengthened, and settled you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. I'd like the worship team to come. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this great church. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that the blood of Jesus covers us. and the blood of Jesus empower us. I pray that we would be overcomers. We are overcomers. You call us overcomers. We don't even have to want to be overcomers. We are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. And Lord, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this great church. I thank you for the pastors. I thank you for the leaders, the deacons. I thank you for every member of this church, this family, this community. Oh, Father, Lord willing, give us another 25 years.
Yes.
Let's see the glory of God revealed. Father, I just believe in Jesus' name that this church is going to have regional impact in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Rama Hasikite. You're part of something great. You're part of something bigger than yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
God brought you here. And he planted you here. And he put you in this family. God's going to use you. He's going to move through you. Thank you, Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over this community, over every family in this community, young and old, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you for what you will do in this next season. This pastor has told us, Pastor Craig, we now begin the next 25 years. Lord, if you tarry, that may be the case. But whether a year or 5 years or 10 years, we're going to see great things. We're going to see a harvest of souls. We're going to see deliverances, healing, restoration in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We're on guard. We just say, we are on guard. Can you just say that? You could say it out loud. You could say it inside. I am on guard. Come on, say it again. I am on guard. In Jesus' name, God bless you.